Okay, so once again, we're on page 76, and we'll be on Yud Aleph. So again, Chav Zayin, Simon Chav Zayin, Sif Yud Aleph. Now again, last week, the Dalet, the Shorosh, single dalet, double dalet, and all that type of stuff. Okay, so let's start with Yud Aleph. Tzarek shehe ha-shochar sheberitzuas l'tzarchus ve'lo yishapchu. Well, you should be careful, or it has to be, that the black... Now again, this is a very interesting... I don't want to say phenomenon... occurrence that's happened in recent years, very recent years. As I've discussed previously, tefillin has changed during my lifetime dramatically. Like I said, I remember the old men, or even right when I became bar mitzvah, people were still wearing dakos, again, tefillin out of sheepskin. And then mamish, the year I became bar mitzvah, it all flipped, and I remember a guy in my class got gassus. Right, that's film a lot of people wear today, out of a bull hide. So that was a dramatic change. Now this isn't as dramatic, but you know the straps of the tefillin. So the side that faces out is supposed to be black, and still a lot of people have the side that faces out. Is black, it's polished, it's shiny, and the other side is like brownish or light brown or tan, and it's furry, right? It's a different texture. Now you might see recently they've changed that, and that is now. Now again, you could still get the old-fashioned way that one side is black and one side, so to speak, is white. Again, for lack of a better term. And furry. But what they also have now is that both sides are black. That both sides are black. And what I've heard, I heard this from an Gadol, he's not a sofer though, but I think it's a reliable source. And he said that what they do now is they soak the ritzuas, so they absorb the black, and it goes through and through. Now, why do they do that? So because this halacha says in Yud Aleph that you're supposed to be careful that the ritzuas, which face out, in other words, the side that you see, should be black. So the black side should be facing out, and they shouldn't flip. They shouldn't flip over. Bein shel yad, bein shel rosh, where it's a shel yad or shel rosh. And now, so you do realize, in the shel yad, it's not, well, in shel yad it might be a problem, like where you tighten it, because sometimes it could get turned around. You know, so this would be a problem if the white side, the lighter side, well, the white side, let's just say it that way, is facing out. But where it's really a problem is on the shel rosh, right? When the ritzuas dangle down, we'll talk about that more, I don't know, today or whatever, when the ritzuas dangle down, cascade down, so down from your, you know, around your head, and we know the ritzuas have to come down. We'll see how much they have to come down. But those flip over very easily, right? So, yeah, you could train them. And a lot of times it's, they sometimes do flip. So so then what's the story? So if... that's what's so interesting, because if you look in the Mishnah Berurah Lamed Ches, so again, the Mechaber said you should be careful that they don't flip, and that the white or the lighter side is out, and the black side is facing down. Now again, you could think about again where we tighten it on the shel yad, but on the shel rush where it cascades down, it's very easy they could flip over. So the Mishnah Berurah in Yud Lamed Ches says, "V'im nishapchu," and if they did flip, turn over, "midas chasidus ulisanos," there's a midas chasidus to fast. Oliftos bitstaka, or redeem, right? We know this halacha, or to redeem the fast with staka. In other words, you guesstimate how much money would be the value of what you would eat that day. I don't know. I figure it out. And you give that amount of money to tzedaka, right? So again, that's what the Mishnah Berurah says. So that's kind of scary, right? Again, like at least according to one part is again according to this Magen Avraham that a person should fast. So I don't know, but I would think that if with the shel rush flipping over, you're going to be fasting quite often, right? Because that happens. So that's one thing. But then look further in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says, "Ve'ein lahakpid shlo liyishabchu ela mashamakif es harosh v'as hakabores pam achas." The only time you have to worry about flipping is only what goes around the head, right? And the shel rush, the straps that go around the head. And that could happen, right? Sometimes, it does happen. But it's less likely. Again, I'm not saying it can't happen, but, get mishkababbled. And also what goes around the arm one time, right? Tying in and goes around one time. So that's avama shikorach akakak. But whatever you twine afterwards, right, the seven times or around the hand and all that type of stuff, or again, think about it, like when you finally finish around the hand itself. So sometimes, we tuck it in, or sometimes people hold it with their thumb. So, that could flip over. So that stuff, you want to use it, extra stuff. V'chein ma'ashe mishal sheles, and whatever cascades down in front of you from the shel rush, right, which is the one that we were really talking about is the real problem, right, what comes down in front on both sides, on the left and the right, from the shel rush. You don't have to worry about that at all. So that makes us feel a little better, right?
So you're saying dafka only the first strap?
Only the stuff around the head, right?
And the first strap around the arm.
And the first twine around the arm. That's what you have to really be makpid on, that they stay black, stay on the black side out, but not the rest of the stuff. That's extra. So that makes us feel a lot better, right? Now, what I was told by this uncle is that's why. Now you might see, quite honestly, I have it. I have it because I got new ritzuas and the sofer I was using, that's all he had that time. He was out of the, so some people, again, they've come out, let me finish the Mishnah Berurah. They talk about Sholeis HaPek, Lefisha Ein Me'ikra Mitzvah, because anything extra besides the first twine, and what goes around your neck or around your head, is not part of the main mitzvah. But mikol malkom mishum nay mitzvah roy lahapoch shiyah shachol tzar chutz afilu b'moser. But Mishnah Berurah comes out because of the beautification of the mitzvah. And this is from Prima Gan. It's best to keep the black side out and the white side in. Now again, that's why they're one of the reasons why they're. That's the main reason why they're doing this procedure now, where they have both sides black. Also, I think there's a shita the Rambam holds that the underside should be black. But again, it's very interesting. Some people I heard some Gedolim were against it, because, you know, like it was always throughout the generations, one side black and one side white, if you want to use that term white or lighter. So this Adam Gadol I was talking to in New York, who's a big posek, said, no, it's not an inyur changing a mesora, he said. There's a person who's big on mesora. It's not like a person who throws it around, but he said it's not a problem. He said because they just didn't have it. They didn't have the, I don't know, technology, he was saying, the of dyes like we have today that are able to penetrate so well all the way through. So again, I think this is an interesting discussion. In other words, like I don't think anybody ever said when they came out with Gassos Tefillin that's against the Mesorah. I don't know, maybe there was. That, you know, we've been using sheep for all these years, and all of a sudden you're using a cow, you know, like, I don't think anybody said that. Why? Because it's a change in technology, right? We never had the presses to press this type of hide, which is difficult to press. So all of a sudden, in the 70s, in the mid-70s, they figured it out, right? Nobody said it's a change in Minnesota. I don't know. Maybe there's certain people did say it. I don't know. I don't remember that far back. But again, the Gassos Tefillin were readily accepted. So again, I think it's an interesting discussion. But again, the Mishnah Berurah comes out that it's best to have the black side out and the white side in, even on the extra parts. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes on in Lamed Tes to say, you know, on the Shalyad you could see pretty readily if the black side is out and the white side is the black side is out and the white side is in, but on the Shalrush, right, that goes around your head, right, you can't see the top of your head. So he says you should feel it, you know, to make sure that, you know, that the flat part is flat. And it should be where it should be. Brings that from the Bach. Okay, let's go weiter in the Mechaber. So you should be very careful whether in Shalosh or Shalyad that the black part of the Ritzuos face out and the lighter part faces in. And then the Mechaber continues, Yishal shal ritzua shiyu tuluim lefanav, and then you should cascade the tefillin, the ritzua, the straps, that they should come down in front of you. This is talking about the shal rush, right? Not the shal yad, but the shal rush, right? So again, you know, I don't know, sometimes the tefillin straps, the ritzuas, get a little ornery, and you know, put them on, and they're behind you, right? They're going down your back, and, you know, they have the mind of their own. And so again, so what's halacha? Halacha is, they have to be coming down in front of you on both sides, on the left and on the right. Ve'agil al-tabor, and they should come till the belly button, till the navel. That's the shortest they should be. Oh, l'mal menu ksas, l'mal menu me'ad, or a little above that, a little around the navel area. Now, on this, the Mishnah Berurah brings down other opinions. He brings down Rav Akiva Eger and also the Arutz HaChaim that says that the right one should go till the navel area and the left one should go till is a little higher up. In other words, from the Chaver, it sounds like that both the left and the right are equal length. Are equal length. But again, from Rabbi Kiva Eger, the left one is a little shorter. It's a little shorter. Then he brings down the Tor that says there's another opinion that says that the right one should go till the place of the Bris Milah, and the left one should go till the navel. And that's usually what we do. Usually there's longer than that. People have longer than that. Now, again, how long? But again, usually most people say Now, again, it could just be to the navel. That's fine. But again, this is the minhag that the right one is longer than the left. And usually we go like this last opinion that the right one should be longer and go till the makom mila, where the bris mila is, and the left one should go at least till the navel area. Now, again, it could be longer. Again, I don't think it should be so long that they're dragging on the floor. But, you know, like, usually we don't have that problem. But you see that at least from what I've seen, I don't know, maybe Svarim do it differently, I don't know, that the left and the right are not the same size. The right is a little longer. Then the Machaber goes on, a very important halacha, not to say the other ones weren't, Rochav Haritzus, the width. In other words, until now we've been talking about the length of the straps of the tefillin, right? How long does the strap of the shoyad have to be, right? It has to go to the finger, you know, so you can go around the finger three times. And the shalrosh, how long does that have to be? But how about the width? How about the width of the tefillin? So, of the straps, I should say. Of the straps. So the Machaber says, Rochav Haritzus Shel Yad Veshel Rosh Ke'orach Sa'or Lefachos. Should be at least a size of a kernel of barley. I don't know how much that is. I don't deal with... Oh, yeah, no. Like, I don't know, this seems kind of small. Again, in your cholent, you might have barley. That seems kind of small. V'impichas mishur orach haritzus v'rachon. Let's say they were too short, either the width or the length. Well, let's before we get there. So again, what is the width of the? So the Mishabur brings down opinions that it has to be with the shell, with the husk. Again, I guess the barley we get at a kosher store, not even a kosher store, right, that we use in the cholent is without it. He brings down, some say, the size, which is apparently smaller, the size of wheat, a wheat kernel, which is evidently smaller. And the Mishnah says you can rely upon this if you don't have it, if this is all you got. And obviously, the Chofetz Chaim brings down from Achronim that he says you have to be very careful where you tie on the shel yad where you tighten, right? Because obviously, there's a lot of stress on that point, and the ritzus gets stretched out and thinned out. So you have to be very careful at that point to make sure that they're not too skinny. Not too skinny. So now, what is the size? So again, we have many different sizes, but the bottom line is the Chazon Ish says it's best, he says 10.7 millimeters, but he says it's best 11 millimeters. Now again, using my little trusty little ruler here. Now millimeters, right? That's millimeters, very, very small. So 11 millimeters is very small. I mean, not very small. It's like from here to here, if you can see. That's not that much. It's... less than a half an inch. Less than a half an inch. And that's what it should be. I think ours are really wider. But again, that's preferably what should be. And again, that's what it should be. So again, I think the most important thing, I remember they taught this this in school when we're learning the halachas tefillin when we're about to be bar mitzvah, is the Rebbe always said, said that you should be careful to look every once in a while where on the shel yad where it's tightened to make sure it doesn't get too narrow. Okay, Rabbi, so we'll stop here for tonight. Meretz Hashem, we'll pick this up tomorrow night. B'li neder. Shkoach, everyone.